the 7 a.m. meeting. My name's Tim, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers Meeting on NABA Zoom, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our Zoom room tonight and listening later on aabluechipspeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I'm one of them too. I must have this thing.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Jewel. I'm still an alcoholic. And I'm also what?
Her twin.
Oh, we look alike. Well, Katie, well, she'll tell you in your story, but she's really got a twin. So yeah, I'm Jewel and I'm an alcoholic. I've not been Katie's sponsor, her entire sobriety. And, I still remember when she called me and I was like, what's Katie calling me? Like, I wonder, like, what she wants to, like, talk about. Like, we went to some of the same meetings. Like, I definitely knew her. We were, acquaintances, but I was kind of surprised, when she asked me to sponsor her, because there was a lot of things that she said that I related to that helped me, that I admired about her program already. And what I can tell you about working with Katie in a sponsor-sponsee relationship is that there are things that I admire about her program even more now. Katie is a woman that is willing to get back on the beam and continue to seek this power, kind of no matter what's going on in her life. You know, I think sometimes we can kind of go one way or the other, stray from the beam, but Katie finds her center. And gets reconnected with this power. And she is a sponsor herself. She's involved in service. Anytime I ask her to do something, yes is her answer. And that's inspiring to me. It's helpful to me. And, this program, I've had the privilege to see it work in her life and her relationship with, whatever this creator is, helps her, and it also helps so many other people. So I think you're all in for a big treat tonight of hearing a message of strength and continuing to move forward and seeking. And so with that, I give you Katie.
Thank you. Hi, guys. I'm Katie. I'm an alcoholic. I have a sponsor. You just met her, and she has a sponsor, and she has a working knowledge of the 12 steps and is taking me through those. My sobriety date is November 2nd, 2016. I'll tell you a little bit about what it was like growing up. I was raised with five kids. I am a twin sister. I have a twin sister. It's not Jewel, but that's flattering. We are the babies of the family. I was always raised up in Alcoholics Anonymous. My dad got sober the year that me and my twin sister were born, so I never got to see him take a drink, never had to. There is one picture with him. We were born in June, and there's a picture with him and his bottle and him feeding me and Karen ours. So we all three had our little bottles, and it's a picture we all joke about, but that's the only time physically I've seen it, and it's in a picture. So Alcoholics Anonymous is has been a huge part of my life, and whether I realized it young or not, the seed was planted, so I knew where the solution was. It wasn't something like I've heard speakers say before that they had never heard of AA, they did not know what it was. That was not my experience. I just didn't utilize it until I was ready. I was born. I'll be 30 years old. Don't tell anybody. Next year. And I, growing up, everything was really being the babies of the family. I was extremely spoiled, mostly by my grandparents, my mom, my dad's mom and dad. We basically lived with them a lot growing up. So got everything that I wanted. Never hurt for anything. So growing up, everything everything was good. My parents have always been very loving parents as well. as growing up, me and Karen are the babies of the family. My brother is the oldest. And when I was 5 years old, my brother took advantage of me and my twin sister. Immediately I was thrown in. He was thrown into military school, and I was thrown into therapy. And that immediately sent me on the. I can't tell you that before then I felt different. I was a kid. I don't remember much about that. I don't remember not feeling a part of before that time. But that definitely separated me from a lot of people. So growing up, that was a big secret in my family. It wasn't something that we talked about. Therapy was just, you know, it just wasn't a normal childhood after five. It was it was uncomfortable. It wasn't something that, you know, hopefully most kids don't have to go through. Growing up in school, I want to say that my first love and first anything with being addicted to or doing anything alcoholically was food. Especially being such an introvert after all of that happened, food was like a comfort. It was comforting to me. And I share this in my story because it just blows my mind. I used to come home, take a box of Rice Krispie treats and a bucket of like a tube of icing, and that's what I would do. I'd just sit in my room and eat that. And needless to say, I gained a lot of weight. I was like 200 pounds by the time I reached middle school. Right at high school, I reached 200. And so growing up in middle school, adolescence is hard anyway, and that's when you start dating boys and things like that. My twin sister started really getting involved with boys. I was just kind of this fat band nerd, and she was like, you know, looking hot, and the guys wanted her, and so I just stuck to, and I'm also a musician, so I really dove into band in any form or fashion. Jazz band, symphonic band, everything, that was an escape for me as well. And so with Karen, I was focused on that, and with my twins being focused on boys and everything, it was like we kind of went our separate ways in a way as well. So my sister started dating, and she told this boy named Jonathan that what had happened to us when we were children, and he went and told the whole school. And the next day we were called, you know, the worst things you can think of. It was just it wasn't information, and honestly, I figured growing into this program, it would be a resentment, but like it wasn't information that kid was ready to handle, and I definitely didn't blame Karen. It was just something, like I said, we didn't really talk about it, so how dare I be mad at her for getting it off her chest, you know? So that separated me even more from the people that were around me. Once I got into high school, I found the green version of alcohol, and it helped me to, like I said, I had gained a bunch of weight, and I was bullied every single day in school. It was to the point where it was like I was checked out by my grandparents a lot of the time. By the time I got into school and I found this, it was, I was funny Katie, funny fat Katie. And I was the first person to make a joke before anybody else could. And I was just this funny fat high kid that was walking around like more fun to be around than just Debbie Downer, you know? Which made it livable through high school for me. That's how I'm going to put it. It made it where I was able to get through it without, because being that set, it was a solution for me. It was something that made me feel a part of. It made me feel amazing. And then by the time I reached junior high, by the time I reached my sophomore year, I was introduced to alcohol. I had never skipped school before. I had I was too much of a, like, you know, I would smoke after school or whatever, but I was just too afraid. I was afraid my parents were going to find out. I was like, I practiced piano 6 hours a day. My mom just, you know, like I felt like the golden child, and I didn't want them to find out that I was doing something bad. And so it took a long time for me to skip school, and I skipped school, and they stopped and got a bottle of Golden Grain. And it was disgusting, but it made me feel amazing. And I remember I remember them telling me that I'd had enough, and they were a little bit more experienced high school drinkers. But I remember taking a Mountain Dew can and sneaking it off and pouring some Golden Grain in there and just acting like, needless to say, I was just about blackout. I remember peeing in the parking lot of the school, and I was taken back, and apparently, and obviously, it did not turn out well. So alcohol came in very early, you know, not as early as some that I've heard, but and the ball just kept rolling from that point. It was like anything that I could get my hands on, especially things that I was also introduced to something else that helped me. It was just an ADD medication that helped me not to eat, and it that really became the love of my life, especially as somebody that was overweight. I did not have to, I mean, I was feeling good, I was feeling hot, I was, like, being liked by people, and I was introduced to my ex-husband, who is, was much older than me, and he liked me, and I couldn't believe it, because I used to be this kid that was, like, not looked at any other way except funny, or, you know, and I got pregnant at 16, I had her at 17, And thinking back now, being about to be 30, like, I was absolutely a child. You know, but when you're, you know, like, I can handle it, whatever. It wasn't something that I was prepared for. I was prepared to go to Berkeley. I was prepared to, you know, pursue a music career, and that is not what happened. So I had my daughter, and the guy that her father was an extreme drug addict and alcoholic, and introduced me to more things than I had known before, anything you had access to in high school. So I let's fast forward. So I immediately started doing things a little bit harder. I'm trying to keep singleness a purpose in this. What I'm gonna say is that I drank and used past my morals, past what I knew what was right and wrong, past my mother's tears, my daughter telling me not to, you know, just everything. You know, what I learned in the book that nothing is of more paramount importance than that. And at that point in my life, I get that now, right? It drove me to prostitute. It sent me to jail. It sent me to rehab houses. So I definitely qualify. That's what I'm trying to say. I definitely qualify. And I'd like to just, you know, jail is also what led me. I had been to jail numerous times, and it was each time was the same thing. I would get out. I would be bonded out. I was enabled, and I would go back to doing the same thing. And the last time that I went to jail in 2016, in February, I stayed for 10 months or 9.5 months. And so I count my time from the time I got out, because that's when the rubber met the road. That was when am I going to do something different this time? Right. Because all the other times I had not done that. So I was able to, like, sit in jail long enough. And of course it was uncomfortable. I couldn't get messed up. I couldn't get out of there. And not that I needed to. I think I was saved at just the right time. God knows what he's doing, you know? And so I was able to sit there long enough to know that is not what I wanted to do. Yes, a lot of feelings came up, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of remorse, especially being in there, not knowing how to do it, not having these tools. That ate me up. It ate me up. But it also helped me to understand that that's not what I wanted anymore. And so when I got out, I went to a place called FFB. It's called Freedom from Bondage. It's here in Athens. It's one I definitely recommend. They taught me how to wash clothes again. They taught me how to clean house. They taught me how to do chores. They taught me how to live as an adult, even though I didn't want to get up at 6 a.m. and sweep the floors, you know. I get up and sweep the floors in my own house now, you know. I never swept a floor when I was out there. It really wasn't that important to me. But it's little things like that. And I learned how to become human again, how to be a productive member of society, you know. I did start working the steps with another sponsor of mine, that I'd asked when I was at FFB. she did the best that she could. She showed me exactly, it was exactly what I needed at that time. We went through the first, we went through the steps, and that's when we went through the steps, and right towards the end of it is when the reason I'm not really going to talk about that is because I didn't really have an experience my first time. It did keep me sober, and it kept me accountable, and meetings, and I even sponsored other women the way that she sponsored me, but and that's why I asked Joel for a new experience. And the reason I did was because we went to Fellowship of the Spirit, and I had an experience on Easter Sunday, and we walked to the top of this mountain, and there was a cross, and it couldn't have been more spiritual. It literally could not have been. And I turned to this guy. He actually told his story at my birthday, and I said, "Hey, do your 10-step inventory?" And he said, "There's no such thing." And I was like, "What?" And like my ego said, "You don't know what you're talking about." But I didn't say this out loud. And then something in my brain told me to shut up and listen to what this man had to say. And he explained it to me. He had read. He did it. He told me what the 10th step said. It says, "I am continuing to correct my wrongs. I'm continuing to make amends. I'm talking in real time. That means I'm doing it while it's happening. It's not damage control like the 4-step was for me." And y'all, the top of my head blew off. I left it on top of there with that cross, and I just was like, I need a new experience. I need to understand what this dude is talking about. And so I asked Jewel. She's always spoken from the book. And I just knew that she was going to be the right sponsor for me. So it shocked me that she thinks that it's a shock that I would ask her. So we started working through the steps, and she's taken me from the forwards, and explained the history of it, and she's explained the real surrender part of this to me. You know, this isn't just me saying that I'm an alcoholic. It's me understanding that there's a line in the big book that says, man has to be convinced that all other methods failed completely. And like I understand that. And she read that line to me, and we read that line together, and it was like, okay, I'm convinced, because looking back, I tried all these other methods and they failed completely, you know? So going forward in the book, like learning the first 4-step that I did, it was a checklist. It wasn't really, it was like check marks. And I needed to understand as an alcoholic. And like I said, it helped me my first year, but I really needed to understand why it is I do the things that I do. How I really don't have a right to have resentments about people, when in reality, most of my behaviors were exactly the same as I was mad at them for. You know, I would never have thought of that. I would never. And she tells me all the time, she gives me the opportunity to see things from an entirely different angle. And that's exactly the experience that I was looking for, because this brain isn't going to see that I was behaving the same way. I am the victim always. I am always a victim. And so definitely just really owning that, you know, and it's like, and seeing, and just the way that it's explained to me in the big book, how a sick person is sick, and that's exactly how I should see them. That is another thing that helped me let go of resentment. And it's definitely something that I'm having to apply to my life today. This year has been filled with nothing but fear for me, not about the disease, just about personal issues. And I've acted out. And this meeting, honestly, as scared as I am, as nervous as I am, like, service always comes at the right time. I always come out of it feeling 100% better, you know? This year has been, like, tough. It's been tough emotionally. It really has. But the beautiful part of this is that I still have a defense against the first drink with these Zoom meetings, with talking to my sponsor. Like, I haven't used, you know, and I haven't drank. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, that was something that I thought when coming to this program was impossible, period. Every reason was a good reason. And, you know, even saying these words, it's like, I need to hear what I'm saying, because no, Randy P. on this meeting says, this
this program works under any conditions. And any conditions are going to happen. And that has stuck with me because it's true. People die. I'm going to get my feelings hurt. I got my feelings hurt yesterday. You know? This happens. These things happen. And I can tell you that working this death and stuff, honestly, like I was saying, like, seeing somebody is sick, you know? And I heard a speaker say that, I heard a speaker say that, it might have been Bob D, I can't remember, but he was saying that, or she was saying that instead of just saying, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, accept and grant me the serenity to accept the things and people that I can't change. But that's something I'm really struggling with. I've never been able to change people. I don't know why me being sober makes me think that I can, but I know I can't, you know? And moving forward in the steps, like, looking and seeing all my character defects that pop out, especially when I'm acting out on fear that I've learned, seeing what those character defects are, pinpointing them, being aware of them, and working on them as they come, just like the 10th step comes, just like the 10th step says. Right? I lie, I tell you. I hurt your feelings, I'm making amends. If I didn't come clean about something, I tell my sponsor and she tells me to come clean about something. It's that simple. You know? So learning those things have been extremely helpful. And, you know, working on one character defect a day, unfortunately, you know, the matter of fact is one doesn't just pop up a day for me. Usually it's a few more than that. And, you know, and then going to 8 and 9, making these amends to people. Like, I had not made the amends the first time around, so this time being sober for a while was extremely uncomfortable. It was awkward. And once I had said what I was going to say and said, is there anything that I left out to my mom, to my dad, there was things that I had left out, things that I did not remember. And it was an eye-opening experience for me. Something, an important time for them as well to heal. It wasn't just, it was like, whoa, she's really doing this, you know, and the opportunity for them to get that off their chest. That was a beautiful experience. As awkward as it was going in, it was beautiful coming out of it, you know. And the 10th and 11th step are the ones that are most important for me serenity-wise, and the 10th and 11th and 12th. Now I know what I need to do. Now I know, I share this in a meeting. There is one paragraph I heard a speaker say this, in the entire book that tells me how to retire at night. And the rest of it are directions on how tell me how to live my daily life. And I was like, all right, it's true. It's true. You know, the 10th and 11th step, like, I'm correcting my wrongs, and I'm also asking God to guide me throughout the day, removing Katie from Katie, right? I easily fall into self-seeking behavior, so I'm going to have to ask him to remove me of that. You know, I'm by default, most of the time, whether it be little white lies, dishonest, you know, whether it be to whether my motives are good on it or not. So I ask God in the morning to, you know, remove those things from me, help me to act as he would have me act. And the one that I've gotten in the 12th step, the one that I've mostly enjoyed is watching people grow in this program. Listening to women call. I had a sponsee that called me the other day throughout her vacation over the summer, and she was like, she called me and she was upset and she was crying, and she just couldn't believe that she had not thought about a drink all day. She couldn't. And I was like, and it almost brought me to tears. Like, I remember that moment when it wasn't the most important thing, when it didn't even cross my mind, when I realized, and I was like, whoa, I didn't even. That's crazy. Whether it be a good day or bad day, you know, like I said, all days were good days. So when she called me, so seeing these people grow and taking them through the steps, and I have started taking her through the steps the way that they're outlined in the book, and seeing her have that experience as well, like it's just a beautiful thing. It really is. The fact that people want me to sponsor them is a beautiful thing. I wasn't worth 2 pennies when I came in. And now I'm have what other people want. So I do say yes when it's uncomfortable, even though I don't want to. I am extremely grateful for this program. No matter what's going on in my life, like, there's direction in this book. There's direction in this book. There are prayers in that book that I can apply to my daily life, no matter what. Promises in the book that continue to keep being pointed out to me that I would never have seen as a promise, but it definitely is. So I am extremely grateful to be an alcoholic. Never thought that I would share that. Never thought that I would say that. I'm grateful that I am recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. That's the first promise that was pointed out to me, because I didn't think that was possible. I never thought that I was ever going to be recovered from that. So I appreciate you guys so much, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Katie. That was very brave, a lot of courage, and a lot of truth. Appreciate your honesty. I thought you told me that Jewel was your twin earlier, and I misunderstood, I guess. Congratulations, Jewel. I know you're feeling great about your sponsee. And I'm going to unmute some folks, and I think you're going to get some feedback, if that's okay.
Sure.
Katie, thank you so much for your story and your courage, and please come back anytime. Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, lady, you really did something to my heart. You were honest, and it sounds like you've been through a lot, and actually I was floored because you were talking real talk. You didn't hide anything back. You know, you didn't try to sugarcoat it or act like you're something that you're not, and actually I needed to hear that. You did something for my soul, baby girl. You just don't even know. I was looking at you like, what? And you taught me something that we're all just human. And everybody got their stuff, but the way you laid it out there, well, I was like, well, just damn, well, go ahead, girl. but it was a good thing that you did. It was good. And I loved your share, and I'm going to tell you something. I don't know you, but I love you. I love your honesty, and I wish you nothing but the best, because my sister, you deserve it. Thank you so much for your honesty. Bye, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mona.
And amen to everything that you said, Mona. I too, from the very, not the blinding light, not the cross on Easter Sunday, Katie, but your experience with step 10. It sounds like you are too, but I was just so willing to grab onto this program and I glommed on with all four paws, you know, and step 10 was and is one, and I started kind of like at step 10. Well, at 1, 2, and 3 was just getting to my first meeting. But step 10, by the time I got around to doing a real step 4, because I had been trying to do step 10 and to practice that on a daily basis until my recent past was pretty clean. It made it easier to look at and to, I can't stay sober by myself, but together we surely can. And with the kind of honesty and bravery that you exhibited, I applaud you, little sister.
Thank you, babe.
Hi, Katie. I'm Jane. I just want to thank you so much. I've developed a habit of praying for the person who's going to do the talk. And so I've been praying for you all week. And you came through, shining through. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Anna Doris. I'm an alcoholic. Katie, thanks so much for your, well, you just spoke from the heart and for your, also your clarity. I'm like, I never had so much clarity and how you, your feelings were hurt. I mean, my feelings were always hurt and I couldn't figure out why. And I always thought I didn't have a role in anything. when in fact usually I was the instigator. But you know, but it took the fourth and tenth step for me to button that up and to get some balance. And today my life is about balance, and I get that by being an accurate self appraisal. And self doesn't see self. And so having a good sponsor like you have and surrounding myself with sober people has helped me not feel as if I'm a victim of abuse. I'm a person who chose alcohol and chose other substances like food to comfort me. And as a result of these steps, I comfort rather than be comforted. All right, but thank you. You were great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Mark. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Thank you for your story. You displayed something that is very dear to me. The most important thing in this world is what we think of ourselves, not what other people think of you. And you displayed that. You didn't care about what other people think about you. You care about what you think about. It matters what you think about yourself, and that's the truth. Your truth shines, and I want to congratulate you. And God bless. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Capats, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yes.
Okay. Can you see me too, or no?
No, I can't see you.
Well, I'm her twin sister, and I can say that I struggled significantly, and hearing this and her courage is admirable and inspiring, and I love you so much, Cat Bats. Thank you for this.
I love you, too.
We're so glad you're here.
I'm Jewel, and I'm still an alcoholic. I feel like you guys have heard me talk enough. So I'll make this quick, and I think Randy might want to say something, too. I thought I saw his. You should be so proud of yourself. I've heard your story multiple times before, and this was, like, very impactful and moving. And, like, I teared up, which kind of takes a lot to do. But I don't think I've ever heard you speak so, like, raw and from the heart. And really, like, I believe, like, when that happens, like, it's this power. Like, none of this is really us. You know, we talked earlier about, like, be honest, pray for, you know, just to be honest and to show up. And I very much so believe your higher power showed up and spoke through you. And you shared a message of solution and strength with all of us. And thank you for that. You are a beautiful woman inside and out.
Thank you.
And I love you.
My name is Randy Parsons. I'm just another alcoholic.
You're right.
Hey, Randy.
I was just waving at the people that share.
Sorry, Randy. I'm so sorry.
I'm wondering when we go back to in-person meetings and somebody finishes their share, will I be waving at them? Sweetheart, you got a special place in my heart. You know it. I don't have to tell you that. And I'm so, so proud. I used to tell people I was proud of them, but I'm proud for you. Because you do the footwork, and you let your higher power lead you to the results, and it's just amazing. I've watched you since you got here. You know, I've known you since basically day one around here, and it's amazing what this higher power can do with us when we give him a little something to work with. But we got to give him a little something to work with, so we got to get some stuff out of the way. I'm happy for you, and I just couldn't be prouder of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Randy.
How's it going, Tim? Hey, I'm Mike. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic, and I can't let Randy Parsons have the last word on anything. I love you. And we've not met before, but it's great having you here and wonderful hearing your story. If Randy Parsons speaks highly of you, that means a whole lot to me. Because he's one of my favorite people in the whole world. And I wanted to just say one thing that I heard in your story. Don't ever apologize for crying in an AA meeting. Okay. At least not in my book, because as far as I'm concerned, that's when people get real. You know, that's somebody else said that they really appreciated how you shared your share with Jules. I said you were raw and honest and open. And to me, that's what I love about Alcoholics Anonymous. And don't ever let go of that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Steve. Thank you for telling your story. I've always gotten a great deal out of speaker meetings, and that was my entree into the program. Even though I was going to literature meetings and things of that nature, I always seemed to identify more strongly with people getting up and telling their story. What I enjoyed about your strength, hope, and experience was the demolition of ego, the absence of ego in the presentation, which is, for me, that's a big problem. I'm certainly not saying that it was for you ever now. You know, that's for you to decide. Stripping away the artifice and the contrived nature that we adopt to just get along in this world is a great thing. And maybe that's why I enjoy speaker meetings so much. So I really enjoyed what you had to say. Thank you.
I am an alcoholic. Thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, what I started to think through is, you know, people say that, you know, you may be the only big book that other people see. And I just feel like, you know, that's what you've done. You've represented the first 164 pages of the book, you know, as you were telling your story. And especially, you know, the part where, you know, the promises do come true. But for me, the thing that kind of really stood out and stands out is just the relationship that, you know, you have with your sponsor. And that is so, for me, so important in the program, and sort of making that transition from one sponsor to the next when you realize that relationship has only taken you but so far, and, you know, having the courage to go work with somebody else. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Just another homesick child, tired of running wild, ready to stand and try to move on. Though I'm guilty in your sight, ask for mercy tonight. I can't make it through this fight all alone. But oh Lord, don't make it easy. Keep me working till I work it all out. But please, please, won't you shine enough light on me till I'm free from the shadow of doubt. Keep me out of the shadow of doubt. As I try to make some sense of this world I'm up against, well, I know my best defense is your love. When the struggle gets the same and the lessons full of pain, keep me calling out your name with love. But oh Lord, don't make it easy. Keep me working till I work it on out. But please, please, won't you shine enough light on me till I'm free from the shadow of doubt. Keep me out of the shadow of doubt. Whisper in the dark, from the bottom of my heart. And I'm searching for one star to shine. I will shout from mountain high, and I'll reach into the sky, till you open up my eyes so blind. But oh Lord, don't make it easy. Keep me working till I work it on out. But please, please, won't you shine enough light on me till I'm free from the shadow of doubt. Keep me out of the shadow of doubt.